AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app.
AM 570.
Trending.
L.A. Sports.
On your Dodger station, I'm Tom Looney. Slaving over a hot microphone. Anytime's a good time to talk Dodgers. And David Vesey is waiting in the green room. He's ready to talk off-season Dodger talk. Dave's going to talk fastballs, sliders, and black magic with Dodgers' new bullpen coach, Mark Pryor. That's next. Clippers are off tonight. They're balling with the Warriors tomorrow at Staples Center. Game time at 12:30. We'll have that game right here on AM 570. Lakers have lost 8 in a row.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that's okay, Kobe. Lakers hosting the Charlotte Hornets tonight at Staples Center. Lakers guard Lonzo Ball listed as probable. And the New York Daily News reporting at this late hour, Bill Belichick might want to coach the New York Giants. And we here at AM 570 want to put a grand in your hand this new year. Keep listening for your chance to win every weekday, every hour between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. I'm Looney. This is AM 570 LA Sports. Get in the game.
This is LA's home for the Dodgers.
Somehow makes the play.
And you're listening to off-season Dodger talk.
He bobbles it, which falls face first, somehow picks it up, throws behind his back with his face in the dirt, throw to first base to Gonzalez and makes the play.
Call 866-987-2570 and talk to your host, David Massey.
Friday is here. Before you get home or hit that extra hour of happy hour, we have off-season Dodger talk for you until 8 o'clock tonight. And we have a great show for you as we get you set for the weekend and the Rams beating the Falcons tomorrow at the Coliseum. Mark Pryor, the Dodgers' new bullpen coach, will join us at 7:15 tonight. And today is the anniversary of Vin Scully being inducted into the Hall of Fame with the Ford C. Frick Award back in 1982. And I've always believed his induction speech later that summer is the greatest speech any member of the Dodger organization in the history of the franchise has ever given. And I want to share that and relive that with you a little bit later in the show. Plus, I'll let you know which Dodger got a special invite from Hall of Famer Eric Dickerson to the Rams game tomorrow at the Coliseum. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. In case you missed it yesterday, the Dodgers did consummate a three-team trade. The Dodgers received left-handed reliever Scott Alexander from the Royals and Jake Peter, a minor league infielder from the Chicago White Sox. Peter is probably a cheaper and younger version of Charlie Culberson. Obviously, those are huge shoes to fill if that's what his role will be, but that seems to be the way baseball is going now, especially with the Players Association seemingly agreeing to a salary cap that is not called a salary cap. So you're going to see, you know, middle-class players basically at the end of their career calling it retirement because teams wisely, with the structure of the salaries and the luxury tax threshold and the way things are now set up, thanks to Tony Clark's leadership of the players' union, younger players are going to get bigger roles as we move closer to the regular season. You see how many guys are still unsigned out there, and that's basically some of the reason being of the whole CBA that was signed last offseason. So you have that Tony Clark and the Players Union to thank for that. But anyway, Jake Peter supposedly is a very good young infielder. Scott Alexander is an excellent left-handed reliever out of the bullpen. And the Dodgers traded away Louis Avilon to the Chicago White Sox. The White Sox also receive Joakim Soria from the Royals. And the Royals got two of the Dodgers minor league players and Trevor Oakes, who's, I know, one of the fan favorites out there, even though he never pitched a single inning for the Dodgers. I know a lot of Dodger fans were anticipating him pitching for the team this year since he was added to the 40-man roster earlier this offseason. But in my opinion, you know, he did have good AAA numbers, but the Dodgers had opportunities for spot starts for Trevor Oakes and never decided to give it to him. Whether that was not trying to put him on the 40-man roster at that time or maybe they weren't that high on him. That's kind of an indication that they were ready to move on, and they were able to get something that they can really use this year and years in the next couple of years, too, and Scott Alexander and Jake Peter. They also traded shortstop Eric Mejia, who I heard really good things about as far as his defense in the minor leagues. So the Dodgers did give away something to get Scott Alexander and Jake Peter. Alexander, in case you didn't know, is a sinker ball pitcher and induced 13 ground ball double plays last year and also had the highest ground ball rate percentage in the major leagues last year coming out of the bullpen, 74%. So they're getting somebody really good that fits their team, especially since the Dodgers have really good infield defense. They've been ranked one of the best infield defenses and defenses as a whole the last couple of years. And not to mention, too, if you look at these advanced metrics, the Dodgers are at the very top as far as the way they get their information and basically set up their infield defense to get ground ball outs. And that's the type of pitcher that you want to have. You want to have a Scott Alexander that gets ground balls, and you have that defense behind him to hopefully turn some double plays like he did for the Royals last year. And also, too, another part of this deal is Luis Avilon, who was a really good left-hander, could get lefties and righties out. Actually, at times, he got right-handers out better than lefties, but he was out of options. And Scott Alexander has options for the next couple of years. So the Dodgers, as you know, really strategize with their bullpen. Guys that are not named Kenley Jansen, they really strategize with guys that have options and try to really build, you know, at least a 10 relief pitcher depth chart between the majors and AAA, because it seems from what I've observed the last couple of years is the Dodgers like to get relief pitchers that are pitching really well in the minor leagues, a hot streak, if you will, similar to a hitter that's on a hot streak, bring him up and send down a relief pitcher that's in a cold streak or doesn't match up with the next two or three series of teams that they would be facing. So Luis Avilon did not give them that roster flexibility that now Scott Alexander will. And Scott Alexander is a really good pitcher, and we all know how good the Royals bullpen has been the last 4 or 5 years. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. I was scrolling through some newspapers online, and I saw the Boston Globe report that the Dodgers and Red Sox briefly discussed a Yasiel Puig for Jackie Bradley Jr. trade, and the Red Sox immediately said no. And the reason why is because Puig probably would not fit really well with that fan base. The things we think are fun and colorful and lighthearted, and we'd laugh off and just say, oh, Yasiel, just being Yasiel, and just let him be himself. That would not fly with the Red Sox fans. They don't like any of their players having fun. They like really serious players that grind and don't have fun at baseball, even though it's a game, even though it's a business, but it's still a game. So I'm sure Dave Dombrowski recognized that right away. And from the Dodgers side of things, I don't blame them for floating that idea out to the Red Sox if they did, like this Boston Globe report is saying they did, for Jackie Bradley Jr., because Puig is arbitration eligible after this upcoming season and a free agent after 2019. So he doesn't have much more team control as far as his contract goes, and Jackie Bradley Jr. is under very cheap team control until 2021. So that was probably part of the reason why the Dodgers, if they truly did, like the Boston Globe is reporting, and the reporter that reported this is usually very accurate. So that's probably part of the reason why. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. We're going to hear from new Dodgers bullpen coach Mark Pryor at 7:15 tonight. So let's take a couple of calls before we get to Mark. And Peter in Glendora, I saw you holding the other night, so I want to get you on first. Thanks for holding, Peter.
Hey, how you doing, DB?
Doing great, thank you.
I thought I knew a lot more about baseball, but I'm having a little trouble with the 40-man roster. When a player's called up in September, do they have to be on the 40-man roster, or can they take, you know, a player that is, you know, on wherever, whether he's at Rancho or Tulsa or wherever he's at.
No, you have to be added to the 40-man roster before you can be added to the 25 active man roster.
Okay, so it stems from a question I have for DJ, which is our boy here.
DJ Peters, Pandora. Come on, say his full name. Yeah. He's not that good yet.
No, he's not. He's not Major League level ready yet.
He will be, though. He's a beast.
Yeah, he is a beast, and he works out with the guys at the stadium, and he seems like he's liked by a lot of guys. But I wonder, you know, to get a call-up this year, because, you know, we all project him being like 2020 or 2019 if he can be called up at the end of September next year. But without being on the 40-man roster, it seems like it would be pretty impossible unless they, you know, make some moves or do what they have to do.
Yeah, he told me a couple of weeks ago he's going to start the season at Double-A Tulsa. Now, if he crushes Double-A and gets moved up to Oklahoma City, I would say there's a better chance that he would be added to the 40-man roster in September. The difference is that he plays the outfield, and the Dodgers have a lot of outfielders, so there would have to be a rash of injuries for him to get an opportunity before September. So you're thinking the right track, that 2019 is more realistic for him to get his opportunity. But like we've seen, anything can happen. And if things go sideways as far as injuries go in the Dodger outfield, he may be added sooner rather than later if he's playing well at Double-A and moved up to Triple-A during the season.
We saw the interview. Is his personality not like the best you've ever seen? Is he not like one of the nicest kids you've ever talked to?
He fits in with Corey Seager and Cody Bellinger. He's along those lines, really mature beyond his years.
Yeah, I know.
All right, Peter, thanks for the phone call. I hope you come to Dodger Stadium and see him soon, because I was really impressed with him. And the interview Peter's talking about is the one I did for AM570's website. I tweeted it out, and you could find it at @TheReal_DV, DJ Peters and me at Dodger Stadium. He was out there for one of the Dodgers youth baseball camps that will be taking place again this weekend, and also next weekend as well. And if you want to try to enter your kid into the Dodgers youth camp so they can hang out with some of the Dodger prospects and learn some good baseball, you could go to Dodgers.com/camps. Let's go out to Dan in Arcadia. You're on with David Vasse on Offseason Dodger Talk. Hi, Dan.
Hi. Hi, David. I just want to say I like the acquisition of Scott Alexander. He only had a 2.48 ERA. He's going to be controlled for quite a few years. He won't be able to get arbitration for a while, and you have to get these kind of players or you're going to end up like Colorado, spending a lot for middle relief.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, the prices for middle relief are going through the roof. That's one area of free agency this offseason that really hasn't shown any slowing down. Teams are really beefing up with middle relief. And like I've told you before, Dan, it's a copycat league, and they've seen what the Dodgers and Astros and Royals have done. And really, you know what's surprising, Dan, is this was done all the way back in the early 90s with the Nasty Boys, when you had Norm Charlton, Randy Myers, and there was one more Nasty Boy. And if you think about the Angels in 2002, they really shortened the game with guys named Brendan Donnelly, Scott Shields, Frankie Rodriguez, and Troy Percival. So this is not revolutionary that these teams recently have thought of. This has been going on for close to 30 years.
Thank you very much.
All right, Dan. I guess he wasn't impressed with my knowledge of extended middle relief bullpen guys. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Sorry, how could I forget Rob Dibble as one of the Nasty Boys? Randy Myers, Rob Dibble, Norm Charlton, the three Nasty Boys for the Cincinnati Reds in the early 90s that won a World Series in 1990. All right, we're going to take a quick timeout. Speaking of bullpens, new Dodger bullpen coach, Mark Pryor. Yes, that Mark Pryor is the new Dodger bullpen coach, and he joins us next on Offseason Dodger Talk right here on AM570 LA Sports.
Put a grand in your head.
Wow, I am so...
This is Nissan Dodger Talk. David Vasse with you until 8 o'clock tonight right here on Dodgers Radio, AM570 LA Sports. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. #Blue for our AT&T subscribers. We'll get back to your phone calls in just a minute, but we're joined right now by the newest member of the Dodgers coaching staff. He was named yesterday as the Dodgers bullpen coach. He's the one and only Mark Pryor, USC All-American. And Mark, I would have to say you're on my top 10 list as favorite Trojan, so you've passed that test.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you. That's a tough list.
I know, right? You and Petros Papadakis have cracked the top five.
Nice.
Mark, just your thoughts on this role, getting an opportunity to be a major league coach at such a young age, and after just spending 4 years with the San Diego Padres in a front office and coordinator capacity.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I'm really excited. But more humbled by the mention and the opportunity to get on the field with a lot of great major league players and be part of the tradition of the Dodgers. It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to start learning from Doc and the rest of the staff and just kind of see what goes into, day to day preparing to get guys ready to play. You know, I did it as a player, but as I've experienced in the last 4 years, things are different as a coach or as a front office member. They're challenging, but they're a lot of fun.
How did this come together, Mark? What were your connection to some of the people in the Dodgers front office or coaching staff to make this happen?
I do have some connections with a lot of people. Dave, I ran across Dave Roberts a little bit as a player, but my first 2 years here, he was obviously on the staff with Buddy Black. And so I had a little bit of experience with him, as well as guys like Dave Finley, Alex Slater works in the front office, some of the other Padre personnel, Josh Burns, that had come up from San Diego about 3 or 4 years ago. I was doing my job down here and it was getting on a plane coming back from the winter meetings, and I got a phone call that they'd called and asked for permission to talk to me about it. And, definitely perked my interest up and wanted to listen to the conversation and obviously talk with the powers to be. And just kind of happened really fast right before the Christmas holiday. Next thing you know, the decision was made and I'm on board and excited.
Mark, I've heard from a lot of big league managers and coaches that have told me they would never trade in a moment spending the time in the minor leagues as a coach. Do you feel being the Padres pitching coordinator has really helped you prepare for this position? And how much do you think you found out about yourself as a coach doing what you were doing?
Well, yeah, I definitely think being in the minor leagues gets you a chance, a little bit of trial and error to do things, just to find your own voice, I think is one of the main things that you need to find out. You have a feeling as a player of what you do well, and you're really focused on how you prepare yourself to get, hitters out or go to the plate, hit pitchers. But when you have to kind of turn that lens the other direction, and now you're, as a pitching coach or a bullpen coach, you're dealing with 7 or 8 guys in the bullpen, or the head pitching coach is dealing with a 13-man staff, or as a coordinator where you're dealing with 100 pitchers or so, your lens is, and your perspective changes dramatically, because you're more worried, how do I get all of these guys better, and I got to do it in different ways because everybody's different and learns differently. They do it differently, right-handed, left-handed, big windups, simple windups. So I think the main thing for me was just being able to find, okay, what is really concrete and important to me, and then how do I relate what I feel helps pitchers get better, helps them prepare, how can I relate that to different personalities and people from different backgrounds. So I think that was the primary thing, for me, like coming out of 4 years, I'm like, oh, wow, okay. And I started kind of figuring that out, that there's not a right way or a wrong way to do it. It's really trying to figure out what's the right way for that person. So I think that experience, all those experiences over the last 3 or 4 years have really helped. And then hopefully, coming in and just getting acclimated, like I said, and trying to learn from Honeycutt and Dave, and all the coaching staffs, because it's obviously a different level than, you're dealing with 18, 19-year-olds in A-ball.
You mentioned Rick Honeycutt, the Dodgers pitching coach for the last 13 years, and I'm sure you know about his reputation and how much he's meant to this organization. How much do you think he can teach the teacher being you?
A ton. a ton. And, I was fortunate over the last 3, 4 years that I was around Darren Balsley down here in San Diego, who's been here, for better part of a decade as well. And again, there's a lot of, we say it as a player, there's talent. Guys have great arms. They have great ability to make pitches. But there's no substitute for experience, and just going through different scenarios and different situations that may arise, you know, with players or situations in a game. So just being able to tap into that knowledge and that experience and all his experiences is invaluable. And I'm very fortunate, you don't get those opportunities to be around those type of people very often. So it's not something I take lightly, and I feel very fortunate to be able to, you know, work under him and learn from him.
New Dodgers bullpen coach Mark Pryor is our guest. And Mark, what we heard about you as a pitcher was that you had these perfect mechanics, and obviously that did not prevent injuries. But where did you learn those perfect mechanics that people raved about, and how much are you a believer in the lower half being the biggest part for a pitcher?
Well, I think I do believe in the lower half a lot. I think things start from the lower half, work themselves up, and I think a lot of things can go wrong, you know, whether it's with your feet or your lower half, because I think, you know, your arm kind of ends up going along for the ride. But you know, the perfect mechanics, I don't think there's perfect mechanics out there for anybody, really. And I said that even as a player, but I do think that there are, you know, things that really good players and good pitchers do consistently, good pitchers, a lot of them do consistent things and put themselves in position to deliver the pitches very well. But I do think there's a lot that goes into the lower half. You know, I think my experiences, you know, range from all different coaches, whether it was from the local junior college coach down here in San Diego that, you know, I would go work out with their team, to, you know, to guys like Tom House, or Darren Balsley from a pitching, you know, from a big league, current big league pitching coach, Buddy Black, talk to him. So, I mean, I've tried to pick up, you know, my rule of thumb is to always try to learn something and pick up something, from everybody that you run across. You know, I've been fortunate to be working, you know, with another Dodger, you know, Bert Hooten was, the A-ball coach here in San Diego, and I'd love to pick his brain because of, you know, the way he went about his work and the way he used his rhythm and his lower half to be able to deliver the pitches. So I always feel like you got to try to learn something from everybody because, you know, everybody's got something to add value, and you just put it in your back pocket and use it when you need it.
Mark, you mentioned Tom House, who has the USC connections, and when you pitched there and were an All-American, you had Tom House and you had John Savage. How much of that foundation really helped you to become the pitcher that you were with the Cubs, and how much of that foundation will you bring with you as a coach?
Yeah, I mean, John, you know, John was very instrumental, and was very fortunate with the right, you know, right place at the right time when I showed up at SC. And he was, even though it was 1 year before he went to Irvine, just I think him setting the discipline and the foundation for, you know, the structure of the program that I would use, the routine that I would use, carried all the way through, you know, till this day, really. You know, he was very attentive to the details. I mean, I think anybody who's been around him knows, you know, how detail-oriented is. His intent on everything that you do has to have a purpose, and there has to be a result, and you have to analyze that result. So, you know, John was very important in my development and in my career, and you know, helped put me again in the right direction to, you know, have a great junior year, even though he wasn't there. And then I was fortunate to have Dave Long come in, and he kind of picked up from what John had taught. And then really going to, you know, with Chicago with Larry Rothschild, who was great for me, just learning the ins and outs of what it's like to be a major league pitcher, you know, day in and day out. And because, again, that's something that you can have all the talent in the world. That's one variable that until you experience it, or that first professional season, you can hear all you want about it, you can work out all you want, until you experience it and know what it's like. It's a very tough transition sometimes.
Mark, I'm just listening to the names that you're rattling off that have had an influence on your career, not only when you were pitching, but as a coach. You mentioned Bert Hooten and all these guys. How were you able to take a little something from all of them to be the pitcher that you were and be who you are baseball-wise right now? It just seems like a lot from a lot of great people.
You know, I guess really it just goes back to one of those comments. I think from an early age, you know, whether it was something my parents had talked to me about, my mom was an educator, it was basically just, you know, just listen and always try to pick up something. And I think I just, going in and listening to you guys talk, you know, and I think when you take the approach that you don't have all the answers, And somebody can, I mean, sometimes players, I mean, players have brought things to me and I'm going, wow, that's I've never thought about that. And that's a great idea. And I think just being open-minded to anything and everything, and not everything works for everybody. But a lot of things work for a lot of different people in different ways. And, again, I think as a pitcher, as an individual pitcher, you focus on what works for you. But as a coach, you got to find out, you know, try to, you know, make your tool chest as big as possible, because eventually you're going to need that random tool to get to that one guy, or hopefully get to that one guy, and that helps him and puts him and sets him on a course to where he can be his own pitching coach and go out and perform. So I just try to listen and try to keep my ears up and you know, sometimes keep my mouth shut and just listen and hear what people have to say. And so, you know, sometimes I'm very quiet from that manner, because I want to hear what they say and I want to process it and see how that, you know, how that might relate to something that I might need later on.
New Dodgers bullpen coach Mark Pryor is our guest. All right, Mark, the obvious thing is when you're in that bullpen as the coach with the Dodgers, you're going to have the best closer in all of baseball anchoring that staff. Have you thought about that part of the whole dynamic of coaching those relief pitchers? And how do you handle Kenley Jansen? It doesn't seem like he's had many bumps in the road recently.
Yeah, no, I mean, I thought about it briefly. My biggest concern was just making sure I can get the gate open for him. that was the initial concern. You know, but, you know, even the greatest pitchers eventually, you know, they have something, or something gets a little out of whack. And like I said, for me, it's just getting with Honeycutt and getting me to get to know these guys in spring training and find out what they like, what they don't like, what makes them tick, what are their keys to in their delivery that helps them. And then obviously just be prepared. You know, that's something that I'm really looking forward to, is being able to prepare and know the opposing lineups and make sure that I can kind of give them those little quick hits right before they step onto that warning track and run out there. And so they can take the mental, you know, the thinking part out of it and just go out there and let loose and perform. And that's my main goal, is for these guys to feel very confident when they go out and feel successful. But, you know, I'm a rookie at being a bullpen coach. You know, I've coached on a larger scale, you know, and I've coached in the dugout, you know, games and stuff, but obviously being down in the bullpen for 162 games is going to be something new, and I'm excited about the challenge and learning a lot of new skills.
Well, the Dodgers are very fortunate to have you part of their staff, Mark. Now, this is the final and the most important question of the entire conversation here. I remember when you pitched, you like to bend that bill really nice. You know, a lot of kids these days, they go with the flat billing. I'm not an advocate of that. So, as a coach, will you bend that Dodger hat as much as you used to bend that blue C cap with the Cubs?
It probably maybe won't be as bent,
bring it to the eyebrows, man. Bring it to the temples.
Yeah, I do. I forgot. I did bend it a lot. I think I've maybe lightened up a little bit as a coach, and maybe I don't have to be as serious all the time when I'm on the mound, but you never know. I mean, if it starts raining, it's going to get bent, I bet.
Yeah, you got to break that in, Mark. That's the staple of Mark Pryor, along with the high socks. Are you going to have the high socks?
No, I retired the high socks when I went into coaching. I went for comfort instead of look as a coach.
All right, Mark. One of the great guys out there. Like I said, the Dodgers are very fortunate to have you part of their staff, and I look forward to meeting you face-to-face at Camelback Ranch in about 6 weeks. And don't believe what anybody else tells you about me.
All right, sounds good.
All right, Mark. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
No problem.
There he goes, Dodger bullpen coach Mark Pryor. And, man, I was really hoping he'd bend that front part of his ball cap the way he did with the Cubs. So maybe those fans that sit on that fence down the left field line for the Dodger bullpen can convince Mark Pryor to bend it a little bit more. But he was a great pitcher, one of those shooting stars. You know, unfortunately, injuries took its toll on him and shortened his what would have been probably a Hall of Fame career if he stayed healthy. But you just heard the knowledge that he just gave us on what he's learned as a college pitcher, as a major league pitcher, and now what he has learned as the minor league pitching coordinator for the Padres over the last 3 years. He even mentioned Bert Hooten, who I heard outstanding things about when he was in the Dodger organization in the 90s. He was one of the more respected pitching coaches then and really helped a lot of the Dodger pitchers back then, and he's still doing that with the Padres. And obviously he left an impression on Mark Pryor, so the Dodgers got a good one. I definitely think they're going to be better for having Mark Pryor part of this coaching staff. All right, we're going to take a timeout here on off-season Dodger Talk. When we come back, your phone calls at 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. I want to hear from you. Who do you believe is the most important player on the Dodgers as far as helping them get back to the World Series this year? I'll tell you who mine is, and he'll be at the Rams game on the sidelines against the Falcons tomorrow afternoon. This is David Vassay. You're listening to Dodger Talk on AM 570 LA Sports. This is off-season Dodger Talk. David Vassay with you until the top of the hour. Our next Dodger Talk will be next Tuesday at 6 o'clock, and also a week from tonight we will have another Dodger Talk for you, and we may have a very special in-studio guest to take your phone calls. Not going to give it away, not going to do the baseball jinx and tell you who it might be. You just have to tune in next Friday night. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. One guy that promised me he would come in studio 2 years ago because I made a bet with him that the Cleveland Cavaliers would win the NBA championship is Dodger closer Kenley Jansen. He still has not paid off his bet. But I guess when you're a Hall of Fame football running back and you send an invite to Kenley Jansen, he's going to take you up on that offer. And Kenley got an invite from Eric Dickerson and will be at the Rams-Falcons playoff game tomorrow at the Coliseum. So if you see Kenley, he's hard to hide. You remind him that he still owes coming in studio and taking your phone calls here on Dodger Talk. And I asked you before the break, who do you believe is the most important player for the Dodgers to get back to the World Series in 2018? Kenley Jansen, for me, is that guy. He is the single most important player on this Dodger team for the Dodgers to have a chance to get back to the World Series. If Kenley Jansen gets hurt for any substantial amount of time, the Dodgers are in big trouble. They don't have anybody to replace him. At least to this point in time, nobody has proven they could be the Dodger closer if Kenley went down. And just look at the way Dave Roberts manages his bullpen, his pitching staff, and the game in its entirety. Every game, 162. It's all basically surrounded by Kenley Jansen's availability and what he can do, and really the opposing manager knowing that Kenley can come in, not just for the ninth inning, but Dave Roberts and Kenley are not afraid to come in for the eighth inning. So for me, Kenley Jansen is the single most important player to the Dodgers to get back to the World Series. I also believe Corey Seager's health, his elbow, him getting the experience from the last couple of years and getting even better as a player is vital to the Dodgers' success in 2018. And also, too, Clayton Kershaw and the health of his back. That's very important to the Dodgers' success. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Coming up in just 10 minutes, you'll hear from Vin Scully and the speech he gave at Cooperstown in 1982, accepting the Ford C. Frick Award. Let's go out to Alhambra. David, you're on off-season Dodger Talk.
Hey, how you doing, Dave? The great David Vassay, whatever. I forget how you pronounce it.
Yeah, you came close.
Yeah.
If I'm that great, you should know how to say my name, right?
That's right, sir. You know that I always said that you could be the number one Dodger announcer for the games. I always put that in my book, man. You know?
No, we got two really good ones in Charlie Steiner and Joe Davis. I'll let them do that, and I love doing what I'm doing.
Hey, you know, I was going to, I kind of started cracking up on that last caller that didn't even respond to when you were talking about all these players, you know, the nasty boys and all that. And he didn't even say nothing. Like, he said, okay, bye. You know,
yeah,
like,
he got nervous.
I was busting up on that, man.
And you remember the nasty boys, right, David?
That's right. I do remember them. Yeah.
You remember those angel relievers, too, right?
Oh, man. They were on fire, those guys.
Yeah,
man.
So my point was, David, everybody tries to put these younger GMs on a pedestal that they're thinking of something so revolutionary and something so outside the box. It's not the case. It's been going on for the last 30 years.
That's right. Yep, that's right.
All right, Dave. You know what? What else you got? You got a question for me tonight?
Yeah, I agree with you on the Kenley Jansen. He has to come through, man. And you're right. If anything happens to him, like during the season where he gets hurt, man, the Dodgers are going to be in real big trouble if he gets hurt.
Yeah, he's done a great job of staying healthy, David. And thank you for the phone call. Let's not forget, for all of these Dodgers, they pitched longer into the season than they ever have in their career before. And I saw something that Dave Roberts mentioned at the winter meetings. He's going to be extra cautious with his pitchers, especially Kenley, in spring training, and that's a smart move. Let's go out to Felipe in L.A. You're on with David Vasse on Offseason Dodger Talk.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I just want to know what's the latest with Matt Kemp. And also,
he's a Dodger still.
He's a Dodger still? Okay, but if you're going to get traded or...
Yeah, he probably will be before spring training, Felipe. The Dodgers are trying to find a partner in a trade to trade Matt Kemp, and I've even heard that they're willing to even attach one of their young minor league players to try to make it more enticing. Whether or not it happens, I don't know. One thing I can tell you, talking to some of Kemp's friends, they've told me he's got into really good shape this offseason, so if he is in camp with the Dodgers, it's not the worst thing.
Okay, and also, I think the most important player is Cody Bellinger, because as long as Cody Bellinger stays healthy, I think we will win the World Series.
All right, Felipe, thanks for the phone call. Yeah, I'm curious to see how Cody Bellinger adjusts to the league, because the league is definitely going to adjust to him, and we'll see how his sophomore season goes, and I don't expect a sophomore slump, but there are going to be challenges that he didn't face in his rookie season. And he has such a great head on his shoulders, I expect him to handle these challenges really well. Whether or not he comes through the way he did, I mean, that's an unbelievable rookie season to not only hit 39 home runs, but play the gold glove defense he did at first base and really play great outfield defense too. Not to mention hit for the cycle in his rookie season. I mean, come on. Those are what you dream about as a kid, and I'm sure that's what he was dreaming about besides ice cream when he was out there in Chandler, Arizona. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Let's go out to Manuel in Gardena. You're on with David Vasse. What's up, Manny?
It is an honor to be on with the Count of Camelback.
Oh, stop it.
El Cuenta de Espalda Camello, the one and only. Hey, thank you for that information about Alexander. I mean, it just goes to show that Seide and Friedman are just doing exactly what is needed. You know, ground ball pitchers flourish at Chavez Ravine regularly. And, man, you made my night, man. I'm glad that Matt Kemp is taking it seriously, getting in a great shape, because, man, it would be so great if he could be the Matt Kemp of old, or at least, you know, a percentage of that. And we could ride it all the way to the World Series. Because make no mistake, we're going back, and we're taking home that thing, David.
I love it, Manny. Thank you for the phone call. 866-987-2570. Do I expect Matt Kemp to be in a Dodger uniform at spring training? I do not. I don't see that happening. But I do believe if for some unforeseen reason that he is a Dodger when spring training starts... Like I said, I've heard he's gotten into better shape and is starting to understand as he gets older, he can't carry the same amount of weight that he was and doing the same type of things as far as eating habits as he was in his early 30s and his late 20s. Also, too, I think if you look at the teams he's played for, last place teams that have nothing to play for in the Padres and Braves and a lot of young players that really don't seem as motivated and focused on winning as Matt seemed to be. His final year with the Dodgers, I know he had some hard lessons to learn, especially when he broke his ankle, when he wasn't running hard in that game at Washington, D.C., where Carl Crawford hit a ground ball and Kemp did not really run hard from third base, broke his ankle because of it. I think he learned a hard lesson from that. Now, I do also believe that if Kemp is a Dodger when spring training starts, I really believe that his career will have some sort of rejuvenation. I think he'll have the passion for baseball again. But like I said, the expectation is that the Dodgers are probably going to trade Matt Kemp before spring training starts. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Let's go out to Santa Clarita. Tony, you're on Offseason Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Tony.
Hey, David, I read that San Diego was still paying part of Matt Kemp's salary at Atlanta, and they still are on the hook for some of his money. And the money that they're paying, the money that's coming from San Diego is the money that the Dodgers originally gave San Diego. So now they're getting their money back from before. Is that right?
It's complicated. The Dodgers are still paying San Diego $3 million for Kemp. Even though they traded the player, the Padres still continue to get that money. And the Padres, I'm not sure how much they said they would pay of Kemp's contract when they traded him to the Braves, but the money the Dodgers agreed to trade to the Padres with Kemp is still going to San Diego. That was part of the agreement of the trade. No, they do not.
Oh, okay.
I know that as an absolute.
But there's some of it's coming back from Atlanta, right?
Not really, but, no.
Oh, nothing. So if the Dodgers trade him, they're going to have to put him more, right?
Yeah, well, maybe, like I said, I think that's the thinking. One of the options they have, if they attach one of their younger players that's somewhat good, then they probably won't have to eat as much of that contract if they trade him.
All right, thank you.
All right, Tony, thanks for the phone call. Today is the anniversary of Vin Scully getting the call from Cooperstown that he was the winner of the Ford C. Frick Award in 1982. The Dodgers tweeted out his speech on their account, and I've tweeted it out before, and I've let you hear that speech before, because I feel like that is the single greatest speech any member of the Dodger organization has ever given. It really hits me every time I listen to it, because it was so powerful. And, you know, he is just an amazing man and so humble with the way he carries himself, and the words that he expresses are so humble, even though he is the greatest, not only baseball announcer, maybe the greatest sports announcer of all time. So today is the anniversary. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame. Later that summer in 1982, he gave the acceptance speech on the footsteps of Cooperstown, and I wanted to share that with you, and you cannot hear it too many times. Here's Vin Scully in 1982 accepting the Ford C. Frick Award.
I guess a vital portion of the human existence is when man is visited with misfortune. He invariably will look his eyes to the heavens and say, why me? Why, with the millions and millions of people in this world, am I asked to carry a cross? And yet, if I'm to be honest with you and with myself today, I have to ask the same question when good fortune comes my way. Why me? Why, with the millions and millions of more deserving people, would a red-haired kid with a hole in his pants and his shirt tail hanging out, playing stickball in the streets of New York, wind up in Cooperstown? Why me, indeed? I don't have the answer to either question for either situation. But I do know how I feel. I want to sing. I want to dance. I want to laugh. I want to shout. I want to cry. And I'd like to pray. I'd like to pray with humility and with great thanksgiving. I have a lot of thanks to give. I would like to thank my parents. I'd like to thank my wonderful wife and children who paid the bill of loneliness and separation while I'm away. I'd like to thank Red Barber and Connie Desmond, who cared about that skinny red-headed kid 33 years ago and made sure that he would do reasonably well. I would like to thank my partners today, Jerry Doggett and Ross Porter. I would like to thank the O'Malley family, to Walter and Kay, bless them both, and to Peter and to Terry. I would like to thank the writers who have been more than generous to me over the years. I'd like to thank the Dodgers, both Brooklyn and Los Angeles, and all of the people along the way. And I'd like to conclude with a story. There is a legend in the West of an Indian chief who was wont to test the manhood of his young braves by making them climb up the side of a mountain as far as they could in a single day. And at daybreak on the appointed day, four braves left the village. The first one came back in the late afternoon with a sprig of spruce to show how high he had climbed. Later that afternoon, another came with a branch of pine, and much later in the day, the third came with an alpine shrub. But it wasn't until late that night, by a full moon with the stars dancing in the heavens, that the fourth brave arrived. "What did you bring back? How high did you climb?" asked the chief. And the brave said, "Where I was, there was no spruce nor pine to shield me from the sun. There was no flower to cheer my path. There was only snow and ice and barren rocks and cold, hard ground. My feet are torn and bloodied. I'm worn out and exhausted. I'm barehanded, and I have come home late." But, and then a wondrous look came into his eye, and he said, "I saw the sea." For 33 years, the good Lord has allowed me to do what I've always wanted to do, broadcast my favorite game. He has allowed me to climb my mountain. And today, thanks to the Ford C. Frick Award, I thank you for sharing this moment with me, because believe me, today, I saw the sea.
That never gets old. And as you can imagine, there was a long round of applause after he finished that speech. And what a story to tell at the very end of that speech, and really capped off, like I said, the greatest speech ever given by any member of the Dodger organization. And I know that's a big statement, considering some of the speeches Jackie Robinson gave in a Dodger uniform. Now, I'm not talking about the social speeches that Jackie gave after he was out of a Dodger uniform. I'm talking strictly baseball speeches with the Dodgers. Vin Scully, his speech that day at Cooperstown in 1982, accepting the Ford C. Frick Award, is the single greatest speech ever given by any Dodger, and could be one of the greatest speeches ever given in baseball history. I mean, I don't know any other speech that any Dodger has ever given that could top that. And only Vin Scully could use the words that he did, the way he did, to really make it as powerful as he did that summer afternoon in 1982 in Cooperstown. And today, in case you missed it, is the anniversary that he got the call that he was receiving that award. And later that summer, in the induction ceremonies, he gave that speech in 1982. And at the time, it was 33 years. We all know it finished up being 67 great years of broadcasting Dodger baseball. And Vin, you're still the greatest, and we still miss you every day. That'll do it for off-season Dodger talk. Thanks to Kevin Figures for his help. Thanks to Rudy Campos Jr. and Matt Herrera for their help as well, screening the phone calls. Thanks to new Dodger bullpen coach Mark Pryor for checking in. In case you missed that interview, you could podcast it at am570lasports.com. And if you want to see that Vin Scully speech, you could go on the Dodgers Twitter account and check it out. Our next Dodger Talk show will be next Tuesday at 6 o'clock, and we'll also be back next Friday night as well. Have a great weekend, everybody. Go Rams! See ya!